100 word stories.
Ground control to Major Tom. Hey everybody, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 word stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com. And then you'll step through the door and all that protein pill and what shirts are you wearing and I don't know. It's Sunday, time for the weekly challenge. I post the topic, you come up with the stories, we post them up here and have a listen. Topic this week was The Line. A lot of y'all sent in stories, and a few folks that hadn't heard from for a while, and a few folks that I've never heard from before. Isn't that cool? See if you want to stay, give it a try, think about it. Make your own podcast of David Bowie songs? I don't know. We'll see. We got stories this week from Muncie, Charlie, Lizzie, Anna Crystal joins us. We've got Jeffrey Fisher and Amy Thibodeau. I hope I pronounced that right. back when I first got down here in Texas, it would be like Thibodeau, and it's like Thibodox, and it's like, no, Yankee, you got to pronounce this stuff right. And then I had crawdads. Magical time. Ooh, is it crawdad season yet? Of course, the marathon is going on, so I can't get to Raging Cajun. I have to wait until it's done, and then there's big crowds, and blah, 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 and then football. Maybe I'll go there for dinner after work at some point. Okay, so where was I? All right, we've got Richard, Serendipity, Zachman, Tura, Norval Joe, and the return of Justin Space Turtle. So cool. People come, people go, they stay a while, they get creative, but remember, green is not a creative color. And we'll see how it goes. What year are we in? What year is this? Been doing this for how long? Wow. Don't look back. Don't look down. Speaking of don't look down, my job is moving to a new building not as far north as the last job wound up moving to, but still, along the loop, if you're not in Houston, this doesn't matter, but the, one of the busiest freaking just routes, traffic city to get there, we should be looking at houses in the northwest side, and we should have been doing that for a while, and the other way, coming the other way at the times that my wife works from that area is not so bad. So, maybe somewhere in the middle, in Memorial area where there are mansions. Yeah, speaking of which, there are no ads, there are no tip jars on this, and that's okay. The server is paid for, and the software is paid for, and I bought the equipment long ago, so... yeah, just whatever. If you want to have advertisements, buy this, buy that. Pet a cat. I don't know. They won't have any ads that they want to run? Well, I won't run them. Instead, make them shameless plugs within your story files. So, now that I've rambled for a bit, how about we have some stories? Muncie, can you get us started, please? Thank you.
Greetings, Januarians. Muncie here with a story that actually manages to have nothing to do with Johnny Cash. Tough though that was for me to manage. My New Program by Christopher Monroe. Here's my pitch. Our contestants, wild, sexy 20-somethings all, arrive at the house on the first day and are told to wait for the host to come and let them in. The host, obviously, never comes, and the series is filmed in front of the house as, over the course of several days, Without provisions beyond whatever they might have brought with them, they give up on ever being on TV and walk away. The last half-starved, exhausted contestant still waiting, once the others have left, will be declared the winner. The Line will premiere this autumn on NBC. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. So ends another week, Januarians. But I'll be back before too long with another story for you, because that is who I am and what I do. Count on it.
Good morning. Charlie here. Aaron crossed the line at every opportunity. He made it to point to shock, offend, and irritate a dozen or more people every day. He wore t-shirts or hoodies with insulting and profane phrases, and adorned his jacket or fleece with even more offensive patches and buttons. His ability to rouse people's ire was astonishing. The t-shirt he wore to his monthly Kiwanis meeting this morning was emblazoned with the words, "Nobody knows I'm a lesbian." Aaron got laughs from folks that were hip to sarcasm and black humor, but he only got grimaces and stink eye from the rest. 2. Little Leo was a terrible student. He couldn't draw a straight line if he didn't have a straight edge to set his chalk against. However, he would practice for hours. He would draw the figure, common faces in the street, and copy sculpture in the church. Leo drew a lot of penises, and many of his male figures were very feminine. The contemporaries of Leo accused him of being a sodomite, either out of jealousy or rumors circulated at the time. Leo went on to create many famous works, including the Mona Lisa and the earliest drawing of the helicopter. 3. Living below the poverty line and taking advantage of various public charities, exemptions, and subsidies was an art form. Bob even used the food bank. He had accumulated a couple of $100,000, so he put all the money in his cousin's name and claimed several big gambling losses over a period of 5 years. He drove an old car, dressed shabbily, and let his yard go to weed. He kept to himself and walked as often as the weather allowed. The utility companies and the tax assessor believed him when he reported a very low income. It worked. 4. Lois delivered her line. She left the set and went to the parking lot to sit in her car. She had another small part after lunch. She ate and returned to the set. Her training at UCLA was demanding, and summer stock parts were helpful to polish her craft. The director called the actors back, and they shot the new film for the next couple of hours. Lois was more nervous than usual as her line was coming up. She lay there with her ankles locked behind her ears. "Sock it to me, bosun mate Murphy! Sock it to me!"
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. The blue line on the floor was in sight. Damien waited eagerly. "Stardom," they said. He stepped out of the vehicle and stood on his side of the line. He had thought about taking some food and some clothes with him, but he knew he'd have to wear a special suit anyway. They'd provide food too. Beaming, Damien stepped over the line. The portal sucked him in and minced him into little portions, wrapping him in some sort of plastic. He didn't look bad in it. However, it had never crossed his mind that he would become the damn food. This is my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Hello everyone, Lizzie here, reading for Anna Crystal. Where would we be without the line? We'd be stuck standing in line instead of walking the line. The shortest distance between any two points is a straight line. My line is never straight. My line ends up looking like scribbles. Is anybody's line ever straight? Time to cross the road, but there is a long line of traffic. I might never cross the road. The line lasts forever. Oh, finally, the end of the line. Time to cross the road. I get to stand in the lunch line. I certainly end up in line often. I need a book. And this was Anna Crystal's story for this week. Bye-bye.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 508 on the topic of the line. Not sure how this is going to sound since I'm not going to be able to edit it in Audacity. My internet is down, TV is down. Good thing there aren't any football playoffs this weekend or college national championship on Monday. And the most exciting part was that Verizon Fios guys said that the first available service call would be Thursday. And I said, really? A lot of widespread outages? Oh, no outages. Just you, I guess. Oh, really? So it's normal for the first available service call to be 5 days from now? Well, anyway, enough ranting about Fios. My first story is called Getting the Point. Smith picked up the closest pen, a fine line marker, and drew a line a third of the way across the page. He considered for a moment, then selected a medium nib fountain pen with which to draw a second line, a wider line than the first. Finally, he chose a pen with a double broad nib, the widest and wettest pen he owned, which he used primarily for signing documents, and made two more underlines, digging into the paper the second time so hard that the nib flexed. "I'm not sure how much clearer I can be," he told Jones, standing in front of Smith's desk, looking perplexed. Bold, all capitals, and now with four underlines, "You're fired." And my second story is called Useful Skills. In high school, I worked on the school paper called the Brandywine Line. I'm not sure where the name came from. Perhaps the founders liked the pleasing rhyme. We all wrote articles, made up headlines, and helped typeset the paper on ancient equipment, gluing articles and illustrations in place on the page, pasting corrections over their errata. Although none of us made careers in journalism, I think we learned some valuable skills during our late nights. Oh, not in typesetting. Those machines were outdated in the 70s, and no doubt gone by my 10th class reunion. Not in composing headlines either. Creating mildly risque puns and school nicknames is a skill, to be sure, but less valuable than one might think. The real value is in having nerdy boys and nerdy girls learn to interact with the opposite sex. But don't tell our parents. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week, hopefully with a working internet connection.
This is Amy Thibodeau. The line. I found it. A beautiful crystal ball, as clear as that perfect ice cube in a refreshing drink commercial. Boxed carefully for shipping in white tissue, nestled in air-filled plastic pillows, and addressed to my dear sister, the stockbroker. She'll laugh. She needs a laugh. I quick step up the building entrance, calculating the line likely formed from the number of cars parked in front of the red brick icon. I'll be out of here in... No! How can this be? I pay my dues for being a good sister and head home to find a crystal ball for me.
Hi, I'm Aubrey, and my website is aubreylynnjepson.com. wordpress.com, and here's my story for this week. Johnny Cash plays on the radio as we drive. The windows are down, and warm summer air weaves through my hair as I lean out the passenger window. I get the feeling I'll never experience something quite like this again as we leave the funeral. It's strange how death makes you feel so alive, how songs become memories. Because you're mine, I walk the line. The words echo in my head as I look over at him, his eyes on the road, on what is ahead of us. I can't spend too much time looking behind, looking back.
Good morning, everyone. This is Richard, and I have some stories for you this week on the topic of the line. And the first story is called That's Life. Bombed, shot at, crawling through muddy trenches under fire, rescuing people from fires and the brink of death, infiltrating foreign regimes, giving humanitarian aid in disaster zones. Incredible challenges faced by remarkable people daily. And when you try to give them their due, their unassuming response, it's all in the line of duty. I understand that completely. After all, every day I battle with the stress and uncertainty of public transport, wrestle with packed city streets, suffer the trials of dealing with idiots in meetings and pointless telephone calls. But you know what? It's all in the line of duty. And here's my second story, and I'm sure everyone can relate to it. It's called Checkout. I joined the line at the checkout with the usual feeling of inevitability. I knew every other line would move forward at a sprint whilst mine crawled. I knew the person in front would have a million coupons. Chances are someone would break a box of eggs, have their card declined, and spend ages packing and repacking bags. With a sigh, I resigned myself to fate. "Excuse me, sir. Everyone's waiting." Damn, my turn. I fumbled for my bags, wallet and change, dropping my box of eggs in the process. The exasperated sigh behind me told a familiar story. And finally, this week, we have the Gospel according to Norman, the parable of the unpaid dues. It so happened, a gambler fell upon hard times, losing all his wealth and becoming a beggar in the marketplace. "Woe is me," he exclaimed, "I am sorely afflicted. What can I do?" "You can bugger off from here for a start," replied a more accomplished beggar. "This is my patch." The gambler took to the road, where he was set upon and beaten by robbers. A kindly Samaritan saw the man, stopped, and gave him a helpline number to telephone. However, the gambler hadn't paid the phone bill. The line was dead, and shortly thereafter, so was he. And on that sobering note, I bid you farewell until next week. Goodbye.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. There's a line you just don't cross, where any reasonable person turns their back and walks away. It's a line common sense tells you must remain a hard limit. There's a right side and a wrong side of that line. You cross it at your peril. Only the foolish, the mad, the deluded, choose the wrong side. But I'm none of them. I'm rational, calculating, and entirely sane. And I've crossed every line there is, deep into the territory beyond. I am you, as you really are. when you cross that line, dividing waking and your dreams.
This is Zach Mann. Oh my, I feel like I have been standing in this line for days. After serving a term in the military and shopping on Black Friday twice, some of us are slow learners, I promised myself to never stand in a line more than 20 people long again. Except that one day I went to an anime convention, I did pretty well with that. Standing in long lines is my personal hell. I see a guy who looks like Joe Hill's father, so I must have been wrong about this line being hell. He usually ends with purgatory.
Tura Brazoino here with two stories. One for last week, which I didn't manage to get done in time, on Pound, and one for this week, on The Line. Pound. After 10 years of arduous travelling through the remotest places on earth, at last I found the hidden master, seated outside a 10-foot square hut. I put my questions. What is the teaching of the Buddha? 10 pounds of flax. What did he tell people? Not a single grain of rice. Do you know where he is? The outhouse behind this hut. How can I get to speak to him? If you see that idiot on the road, kill him. I can't decide if those were koans, or if he was just deaf as a post. Line. I remember PDAs, personal digital assistants. That just meant a calendar app and an address book. Then recommender systems to tell you files you'd like. Now, smart glass. It reads your heartbeat, brainwaves, eye gaze, everything. It knows what you want before you do and smooths the path. It gamifies eating and exercise, so you'll be fitter and healthier with smart glass. In some jobs, it will do the job for you, continually whispering in your ear to tell you what to do. Somewhere, a line was crossed. We wanted paradise, and all we got was machines to live our lives for us.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of the YABooksPodcast.com. We're on our 23rd episode at the YA Books Podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. So if you're interested, Susie Vidori was our most recent interview and lots of fun to talk to and lots of fun to listen to. So if you get a wild hair and want to listen to a podcast about YA books, check it out. So here's my story for the weekly challenge number 508 with a prompt of The Line. Henry sat on the edge of the rain gutter and surveyed the line of pigeons at the top of the roof. He must forget these dull and unimaginative creatures were once his family. Not brothers and sisters. They were cousins or something like that. Forget that now, Henry told himself. I'm a hawk, and these pigeons are my dinner. But which one? Jenny was the fattest and probably the easiest to catch. He couldn't drop from the sky like the rest of the hawks. Henry would have to sneak up and attack from behind. He'd have to wait until dark. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Justin Lomaster here from GuardFrequency.com. Been a long time. I was at work, really wanted to be creative, didn't have time to do anything else, and I thought, well, I should look at the weekly challenge and see if I can write one. And I did, and despite crazy yesterday with cars, repairs, and stuff, I am recording this Saturday. So, there you go. This is a story in the Star Citizen universe, which is something I'm reasonably deeply involved in at the moment, even though the game's not yet released. So here we go. The creature advanced, feline form with aquatic features. The most feared, mysterious enemy of the United Empire of Earth, the Vanduul. He cowered from its cold gaze, weakly jabbing the knife towards the alien. It leapt, tearing the knife from his grasp. Its teeth glinted as it spoke. You killed my brother, and you tore our ship and sold it for scrap, as is your right. But you stole this knife from me. That is not your right. It is a death sentence. The knife glinted as it flicked out, and a red, quickly growing line appeared across his stomach.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
Theodore is an expert in cell phone bombs. He likes to watch his targets from the hills as he makes the fatal calls. These days, Central Command prefers drone strikes, but some targets dig deep enough to thwart the best bunker busters, which also makes it difficult for Theodore, too. If the bomb can't get signal, you can't set it off. Central Command tries to text Theodore with changed orders. Poison the air intake vents. But they called the wrong phone number. It was for Theodore's backup bomb, which he'd mistakenly left on. The target watched the explosion on the hill.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of 100-word stories on the topic of the line. The line. The line sleeps tonight. Can't even sing. So thank you to everyone who is a part of this, whether you wrote a story, recorded a story, which usually is one for one around here, but still, there are some people that record stories for others. Maybe it's a collaboration. Maybe it's teamwork, like David Bowie and Mick Jagger. And who did they have the threesome with? That's the thing. When there's a threesome between Mick Jagger, David Bowie, and someone else, you tend to forget the someone else unless they were like Gandhi. So, but hell, you got a chance to take a shot at David Bowie, man. I mean, no, take a shot is not as in John Lennon. But then again, he's already dead. So, I mean, you can shoot the ashes all you want. It's not going to hurt anything. Okay, we're going down a dark path. You can find out more about the authors who were in this weekly challenge at .com. No, one a day until the day I die. .com. Hopefully I won't die from a coughing disease. Also the text of the stories. Archives, so you can see what other things they've written. Also find out that the next weekly challenge is on the topic of thought. So don't let the thought police get to you. Be creative. Although green is not a creative color. We'll find out more on June 19th, I guess. What else? Is there anything else important that I'm leaving out? So I always worry that I leave something out, that I don't say something, but it's not like you're not going to hear from me. I mean, I've got stories tomorrow and the day after, for the rest of the week, next week, the week after that, until I die, then, you know, well, there'll be more stories because there are like 2 years worth in the queue. Cough it up. But thank you all for being a part of this, and let folks know what you thought of their stories. The comments are in the comments section at that site. You can social network and said, hey, this person's story here really moved me. Take the time to do it. Let them know. You don't need to let me know. I mean, my hosting of this, I suck as a host. I could be giving little, you know, hey, bits of encouragement, little bits of advice, some mentoring. No, I just throw this stuff up there. I mean, drag and drop. I don't even introduce people anymore. I let people introduce themselves. Apparently, I was saying, like, oh my God, this is this person again. After a few years, it really grinds you down. I mean, I am not a Chuck Woolery. I do not game show get excited over anything anymore. I mean, oh, what? You know, a whole keg of beer? Oh God, we're going to have to take it back at some point. You know when you're old. So, thank you all for being a part of this. And as always, keep it brief.